Transmission commence in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Level 7.
RandomChatter.com presents
the Strategic Homeland Intervention Enforcement and Logistics Division.
Do you copy?
Perimeter breach.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case files.
Authorizing.
Just call us S.H.I.E.L.D.
Access granted.
Colson, get back to base.
Welcome back, agents. I trust you've all been suitably briefed on the most recent encounter. We'll be your hosts on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. I'm Director Shepard.
And I'm Director Stolten.
And you've been authorized to undergo debriefing on the most recent mission from Agent Coulson and his operatives, presented to the public as a dramatic hour-long television series known as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Fortunately, you are all cleared to know the truth.
Yes, that's right. You need to know the truth about some memories, light the corner of my mind, misty watercolored memories, alien writing carved out memories of the way we were.
That nostalgia takes me back thousands of years before the pyramids to when blue aliens were looking for cities here. I don't know.
Cities. If I could only figure out what city.
What cities?
Where am I supposed to go?
I knew I should have taken a right turn at Albuquerque.
Oh, my gosh. Bugs Bunny had GH325 in him.
That's probably what it was.
He was trying to figure out where to go. It all makes sense now.
Yeah.
I love it when the pieces start falling together.
It does. It's all connected. Hashtag. All right. So what are we investigating here?
Well, we're looking into some memories from The Writing on the Wall, episode 7 from season 2. And this episode, that I remember this episode, aired on November 11th, 2014.
Well, that's good. Your memory is spot on.
Yeah, if I could just remember everything else about the episode. But maybe it'll all come back to me as we talk about it.
Okay.
So the writer, Craig Titley, I think, was... help me remember what is that Titley Craig? That's a new name.
Might be
a new writer this episode.
Might be Titley.
Okay, all right. Well, it was directed by Vincent Miziano, and I think that is a familiar name. I think
yes, he has directed a couple episodes of S.H.I.E.L.D. previously.
All right. Well, have you ever walked into a room and just kind of forgotten what you wanted when you went in
yep.
there? For,
yep.
You know, you've done that? Okay. And then you kind of racked your brain, you know, trying to remember.
Right.
Have you done that? Yeah. And so you retraced your steps thinking that might help?
Uh-huh. Yep.
Yeah. And then you started carving things into people to help jar your memory?
I don't know.
No?
That doesn't ring a bell.
What? Okay. Well, all right. Well, sometimes you just have to know what's going on. And that's what I do.
I mean, I need to know.
Yeah. It seems to work.
I need
well.
To know.
You do.
Tell me about the episode. I need to know.
I'm trying to help you. Just all you got to do is look down.
Oh, ooh.
It's right there.
Hey,
okay.
Hello.
Well, that needing to know, that's all that former S.H.I.E.L.D. agent and GH325 patient Sebastian Derrick's trying to do. That's what he wanted. He needed to know. He wants to know what those alien symbols mean, just like Coulson. But unlike Coulson, he's willing to kill all of the former test subjects to find out. So Coulson orders the team to put him back in the MRI-FH. You know what an MRI-FH
is? No, that's new for me.
And that stands for Magnetic Resonance Imaging from Hell.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's a... I think I'd have sent that one back to Amazon. That doesn't seem to work the way I've seen
it. I'm pretty
it
sure
in,
it was open when we
dramas.
Got it. I don't think we should be using it.
No, yeah, you're probably right. The seal was broken. Coulson wants to try to figure out what Derrick is after and how many patients there were and why they're carving all these symbols. He's got to figure all this stuff out, and he thinks if he can get it out of his memory, they'll figure it out. But meanwhile, the other half of the team from S.H.I.E.L.D., they can't help because they're out tracking Grant Ward. And he's pretty clever, so he may not be caught very easily. But luckily, Grant has left them a special hydra-scented gift.
Mm. That is true. I'm pretty sure Grant thought he was trying to give him the slip because he shaved. It's like, oh my God, where'd he go? I don't see him.
Is that? See, I thought he was just trying to earn extra money by doing, you know, like a razor commercial or something. Or is he the new Old Spice guy? Or that whole scene?
What's the yeah, he could be, or the, what is it, the Not Average Spring? It's the other one with the guy riding the horse.
Yeah, that's the Old,
is that
Spice,
Old Spice
guy. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So now, I honestly, because of the way they kind of brought that scene back in from commercial, or I don't know if it was right at the end or for, I don't know what it was. I think it was right after the Agent Carter commercial came back from that scene, and I honestly wasn't sure at first if it was a commercial for, you know, something shaving related, or if he was just shaving his beard. But he, you know, after his kind of creepy comments and way to talk to Sky, I was pretty sure it wasn't a commercial anymore.
Yeah, definitely. Well, there's a lot of stuff to discuss about this particular episode. I had a couple other pieces of news, but I'm gonna go light this week because we were off for a week here. So I want to kind of get into what we're discussing, and we can, anything I miss here, we can just come back to at some point in the future, because I'm sure there'll still be room for that. But we did get some dates for the Agent Carter series. We found out that December 3rd of 2014, episode number 9 of season 2, will be the last episode for the year. So we've got two more episodes. I believe they are doing a skip week on Thanksgiving week here, last week in November. Then, so then they'll be off through the end of the year, through Christmas. Agent Carter starts the first Tuesday at 9, which is January 6, 2015, and runs all 8 episodes right in a row, no breaks. So very excited about that. And S.H.I.E.L.D. will return immediately following Agent Carter on March 3rd, back at the regular time. So if you're only watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you're going to get a couple more episodes, and then a big break, and then a really big break, because they won't be back till March. It's kind of like, it's like watching The Walking Dead, or, you know, one of the other shows that takes a big break.
Game of Thrones.
Oh, do they take really big breaks?
Oh, it's actually longer than the winter that they have on the show, I think. Now, March 3rd is when it comes back. That means it's going to probably just have to have a straight run through till the end of the season, if it's that late.
Possibly. So that would be, let's see, so there will be 12 or 13 episodes that they'll have to do then. Yeah, that they're just going to go a little bit later than everybody else.
That's fine. They started earlier, so.
Yeah, they did, and nobody else is getting an 8-episode mid-season show, you know, in between their halves here. So, yeah, we'll have to see. But, yeah, if they went straight through, that would put them right at the end of May, basically. And I don't know. They might go into June, which would be kind of weird, but that, you know, if we get, I mean, we're getting 30 total episodes from the Marvel Cinematic Universe on TV this season, 22 Shields and 8 Agent Carters. And for those of you that are going to stick through to watching Agent Carter, just keep your feed tuned to this location here. You will be getting where you're getting your Shield episodes from us. You'll be getting your Agent Carter episodes, and we'll give a little more information during the Episode 9 podcast here, when we'll have all the details about what we're going to be doing. They also had a new actress join Agent Carter, Bridget Regan. Don't know who she's playing. I think they had mentioned it, but the name doesn't mean anything to me, at least. So we'll see where that goes. They kind of keep packing a lot of characters into here for 8 episodes. It sounds like they've got a lot of characters. So we'll see how that comes together. And then my friend Greg posted something on our Facebook last week during the break that there was a group that built a quadcopter helicarrier. And it actually had little drone planes on it that actually could take off as well. So he posted the link on our Facebook page, so you guys can take a look at it there over on the side in the posts to page section. And It's pretty amazing. And the fact that then, I guess, DARPA came out within the last couple of days and said that, hey, they're actually looking to build helicarriers as well, which is, I don't know, I'm not really down with the government having one of these.
Yeah. Do you think it can support the Hulk?
Not the little one, unless it's like Hulk hands, you know. Those might be able to do that.
Okay. But it's very cool. It's a really neat video. You guys need to check it out.
I don't understand how quadcopters work in the first place, and the fact that you've got four of them kind of synchronized that are floating a platform, I think that's pretty cool. So
yeah.
But yeah, it's just a matter of time before we get something bigger and real. Greg was asking me, he's like, if they build a real one, we should sign up for whatever it is, the Air Force or the Navy or whatever group gets this. And so we could get on one. And then once we do, we can quit. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's not the way the armed forces work. But I'm sure there'd be some other way you could get on board one. So we'll see. But
all right. In our lifetime, I bet you there will be one.
Yeah, that and hoverboards.
Yes, that's got to be next year.
Well, I mean, there's that Kickstarter group that they have some. It's just not quite the same. Whereas, you know, in the movie, the hoverboards didn't work on water. These hoverboards don't work on anything other than, I think, like a copper surface or something like that. But
well, you know. Of course, unless you have power.
Right.
And Nikes. So, all right.
So next year. All right. But for now, we would like to talk about the writing on the wall. It's as plain as the writing on the wall. That's what people say. And boy, do we really get into it. I feel this was a great episode in the same way that I Spy kind of revealed the writing to us and had a really interesting episode that kind of opened up the floodgates of questions and possibilities for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., within the fourth episode of the first season. Now we have this episode, which answered a lot of questions. I think it resolved, I think, pretty much everything that we've been talking about since we found out about the alien writing. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think so.
So we've been asking, why can't it just be written? Why does it have to be carved? We got a little bit of information on that.
Yeah, I think so. Although carving still doesn't really solve the ultimate problem, which maybe that's one of the reasons they were having so much problem.
Right. It's so since we find out that the symbols have to be revealed in a three-dimensional sort of space, people were see, that's the thing. I just think that the human mind obviously was not able to comprehend the instructions that were being given to it. If we liken it to what did Coulson say? I think it was like a homing pigeon.
Yeah.
In this, and they just didn't know which way was home. The brain just wasn't able to interpret it. So some people might have started writing. You had people that were painting. Then you had people that started carving it.
They should have tried mashed potatoes.
They should have tried mashed potatoes. They did not discuss the mashed potato theories that we got into.
But I did have an idea of why. What was his name?
Derek, Sebastian Derek.
No, that's the bad guy. Cameron Klein was what he was going by. I think Thompson was his.
Oh, Thompson
shield name,
was.
Or I might have that.
Yeah, Thompson was the guy that who had built the train set.
Right, and I was wondering, he seemed more stable and more. I don't want to say happy, but I mean just to, you know, a little bit
adjusted,
more, less crazy, more adjusted. Yeah, there you go. Than everybody else, even the woman from the beginning who, scary. We should talk about her. But and I'm wondering if maybe he was because he had done it three dimensionally.
Right. So my understanding of or my explanation for that, the way that I saw it was, Coulson saw, you know, he was hiding from Derek, who was trying to kill him in the train house or whatever it is. He went upstairs. He looked down and saw the, quote, last piece of the puzzle. And that satisfied this fire inside of him. So I feel that when, what did we say this guy? Thompson figured out that it was a three-dimensional thing and built it with his train set, just because maybe he was already into train model trains, and he just then started putting together trains that met the three-dimensional criteria, you know, whereas, like, the other woman, she painted, right? Because uh-huh. that was her artistic outlet. When he discovered that, he kind of was Thompson was cured, and it appears that when Derek saw it as well, Sebastian Derek saw it, he was cured, quote unquote. You know, he was satiated from the urges for this hypergraphia that they talked about in the episode.
Yeah, and Coulson too. Coulson was cured.
Right.
He didn't have the urges anymore. So.
Right. Well, you know, and I think "cured" comes in quotes because we don't know, how, you know. What does that mean? But it appears that we have now solved this part of the puzzle. We have leveled up, and we are moving on to a new, you know, map, so to speak.
Yeah.
So
now, what do you mean by a new map?
Well,
we have the whole thing now, or
I'm talking about a video game kind of analogy, you know, as
a
storyline point of view and stuff like this. But also,
so they got the boss.
It is a map, so. So we found out that, you know, what they mean, you know, the fact that it's three-dimensional and it's not just a map to, you know, it's not a genome. They mentioned all this kind of stuff, or Sky did. It's not a genome. It's not a star map. It doesn't appear to be, you know, a schematic, I think she said. So all the kind of things that fans had been talking about, but we did find out it was a map of, or a city, I guess, a three-dimensional city. We also found out that the host, as they're calling this alien, right? We don't have any better word for that, which I don't know if you caught this. We got kind of what Tahiti stands for from the Tahiti Project, the T-A-H-I-T-I. Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
You told me about it. I haven't seen it, though.
It was, yeah, I was... going through, just looking at some of the close-ups, and it was in Coulson's flashback, he held up the lady's file, the woman that died at the beginning, and up at the top, it says terrestrialized, alien, host, integrative, and then the rest is blurred out because of the framing of the shot, and we never see what it says. So, terrestrialized, alien, host, integrative, something with a T and then something with an I. So that's closer than we've had. We got kind of close. I mean, I think we used the word alien in there, but we didn't use any of the other words that I could tell.
I'm not sure that would be considered close. We'd lose Wheel of Fortune, I think, if that's all we got.
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, it's what, 17.5%, something like that. That's pretty good.
Okay. All right.
You know, that's not, We would have gotten to pick one out of the six on, you know, like a lottery. What's that, like $100?
$100? I'll take $100.
Yeah, that's cool.
Worth it. Okay.
And we found out that this host, he is thousands of years old, predating the pyramids. So whether or not that means he's been on Earth that long, whether or not he's, I don't know how they would have figured this out in the first place. I guess they probably analyzed cellular tissue or carbon dated the, I don't know, something that he came with. But this would be the same body that was recovered by Agent Carter in episode one of this season as well. So
we assume.
Yes, we do assume that. That is a lot of assumptions. I can't imagine there's two of these guys running around.
No, and I would say that seemed pretty clear, but we don't know that for a fact. But I'm just wondering.
I thought it was clear because we were a non-official podcast that it wasn't a fact. But everything we say is taken with a grain of salt, maybe? I don't know.
No, I don't know. I think a lot of what we say is fact, especially the beginning parts when we introduce ourselves. But these are dumb thoughts. I don't even know if it's worth sharing, but I'm wondering who this guy was, the alien, I mean. Mm-hmm. And not just, like, what kind of alien, I mean, because that, you know, you could do anything with that, but was he somebody important, or is just, like, everybody of his race have this stuff you know, surging through their body that could potentially change human beings in some way.
I think it's every 7 years it surges through his body, and he has to seek out his home planet and have and mate. I believe it's called Plakto. No, wait, that's Star Trek.
Oh, okay.
The alien's name is Tim. And no, that's probably not it either. I don't know, Josh. These are good questions.
Well, I just like I said, I mean, if it's somebody important or if it's this entire alien race like this, because now, as of the Avengers,
like,
well, or was it just like the janitor of his ship that got left behind? I
don't... Oh, but, the horror!
No, because think about like Avengers when they had all of the, you know, the aliens coming through the porthole and you know the
wormhole.
the giant centipedes flying around. some of that stuff probably got left behind. I know they cleaned up a lot and they tried to shield, tried to take care of, make sure everything was packed up and shipped to one of their secret facilities, right. Which Garrett probably got a lot of.
Yep.
But you know, even so, just some minor alien of some other race could potentially cause a lot of damage.
Oh.
And I'm wondering if this was just something like that or if it was somebody more important.
I would think it was probably some sort of scout, you know, that was out charting, you know, the space lanes or whatever they do. But, you know, it's possible we could understand that maybe it's a... you know, it was somebody that was coming from an invasion, you know, a soldier of some kind that maybe got left behind. I mean, he does seem pretty buff. But, I mean, again, we don't know if that's indicative of the race or anything like that. So, these are not necessarily things that I've thought about. But, I mean, I think it's from story possibilities. It's like, well, I mean, that's valid, interesting things because, you know, depending on what kind of character this alien was, I mean, that could reveal many different types of story possibilities. You know, if it, like you said, if it was just a janitor versus, you know, he's a prince, you know, of some other race of blue-skinned aliens or something like that. I don't know. So.
Okay. Well, no, and the reason I thought not so much that I thought he would be some minor alien, but just think how much other aliens and things are starting to really appear on the planet and be of concern, how much just the littlest tiny thing could affect us. That's what made me think about it.
Sure. Well, you know, and in any sort of real alien invasion, I mean, you see those movies about how it brings the planet closer together. I don't know if that necessarily would be the case, but... It would definitely cause a lot of concern, I think, for many governments and individuals. There was one other thing I was going to add about that. Well, maybe it'll pop back up later. But yeah, I think there's a lot of interesting, you know, story possibilities that we can find out about this guy, and you know, even even him being dead, there's still information that can be harnessed from this this character, and I definitely want to find out more about the race and the character and stuff like that. I think there's a lot of cool stuff.
I'm kind of hoping that, you know, when I die, they keep me around for 1,000 years and use me in bizarre scientific experiments and stuff. But
hopefully the good guys
end up with me though.
Right, use your blood to make people come back from, I don't know, the mall or something.
Yeah, that's about all it would be good for. Helping men lose their hair. That's what my blood would be good
for.
Well,
he was. He's a big, bald blue guy. I mean, you know, that's 2 out of 3 right there for you.
There you go.
So that's good. So much of the episode seemed to really be caught up in Coulson's flashbacks. And part of me was really excited to get this information, and watching it the first time, I'm like, this is great. Oh, look at this. What are we finding out here? Oh, and what are we, look at these crazy people and writing on the table and the guy carving his arm and, you know, carving up this woman. And, you know, he's carving because he said the pain helped him remember too. So basically the memory implants / mind wipe, you know, really didn't work on this guy because his obsession to carve he turned it into, you know, a carving of himself, and that, you know, triggered or reverted, I guess, things that were going on with him. But on my second viewing, I got to say, it really seemed to drag on. I was more interested the second time, like, great, okay, I got all that information. I was more interested in looking at all the other stuff that was going on in the episode, which definitely seemed to be taking second tier. Would you agree with that? Like the Ward storyline and stuff?
Would I agree that the Ward storyline took second tier? Yes.
Yeah,
those are some of the creepiest scenes I think in this entire series. That whole the scenes with the patients, mm-hmm. not to mention the autopsy of that poor woman. Jeez, oh my gosh.
Do you want to leave before creepiest... we go on?
Well, I would have raised my hand. I would have. Yeah. I would have raised my hand.
I will tell you. My physiology class in high school, we went to a sheriff coroner. It was a sheriff's office, and it was also the coroner, and had a morgue. And they were going to show us part of an autopsy. The high school kids, right? It's like, cool, man. All right, that's cool. So we go into the freezer, and the doors open up, and it's like, okay, it's kind of cold. Oh, it smells like, you know, like a meat locker. It smells like, you know, it smells like the meat area at the butcher, right? It's like, okay, that's cool. And they've got the body laying there in the bag and stuff. And I'm like, okay, yep, that's not a problem. And then we turn to leave to go to the room to watch the autopsy, and the doors open up. And I just remember feeling the air rush past me, and, like, I got that tunnel vision.
Uh-huh.
And next thing I knew, I'm on the ground, and someone's, like, slapping me in the face trying to wake me up. And I'm like, no, I'm cool. Yep, I'm just going to go sit over here.
No, yeah, I'm bad. I actually started getting nauseous as you were telling that story just now.
It's you do not want to be there for something like that.
No, I'm not. But I really did. I was a little uncomfortable in these. And I'm not saying they shouldn't have done it. That was just me. And part of me, and this is probably the dad in me, but I actually have a friend whose 9-year-old daughter really loves Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And all I could think of was her watching these scenes. And I actually warned them. I'm like, you watch a couple of these scenes before you show her.
It was graphic.
It was very graphic,
I mean, they showed the photos. You see some blood on the floor. You see these scars, which, in my opinion, from just a special effects standpoint, they looked pretty bad after the fact. Like on the corpse or on... When
he's using a dull knife.
God, that would even be worse.
Oh, jeez.
He was using the busted knife that Coulson snapped off there.
All right. I'm not bad mouthing this episode or even those scenes necessarily. I actually thought the flashback scenes were interestingly filmed and done pretty well. I found it pretty interesting.
I did too. Like, once I got the information from them, it just seemed like there was too much. I felt from a first time viewing, I thought it filled my void for wanting to know the information. From a second time viewing, it was excessive because we were being repeated and the information was being repeated multiple times. Granted, I think they wanted people to really, really understand what was going on. I mean, if you're not really paying attention to this show, oh my gosh, that's probably the most confusing thing. I think my mom's here visiting, and she's like, okay, who's this guy? I'm like, shh, I'm trying to watch. And then she goes, why is he? I'm like, shh. So, you know, I mean, I'm like, just watch the, you know, scenes from before. You'll get everything you need to know. Well, she's like, I have no idea what you're doing here.
So she's not listening to the show tonight. She's not.
Yeah. So, but I felt it was necessary. I mean, and I appreciated that they gave us everything. I mean, it's they basically closed the chapter on the alien writing. They fixed Coulson. They kind of last week or the last episode and maybe a little bit in this one kind of said why Sky was probably not affected. I think more so last episode when they talked about her, you know, potentially having this alien DNA in her to begin with. Right. So she didn't have her body didn't have the problem adapting to, the whatever the messages that the, the host serum was putting
just,
out.
Just your standard blood transfusion, that kind of thing?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Since she was part of it, she had the right type.
Right.
But so you think they've closed the book on the alien writing, or just the mystery of what it was?
Kind of all of that. Because what was the writing? Why were these people affected? Why was it having to be carved and or written? What was the compulsion for that? All that was wrapped up. Now, that ends that chapter. And at the end of that chapter, they said, okay, well, this is a map. It is a map, but it's a city. Boom. Okay, great. But I don't feel like they ever have to go back to, oh, remember that alien writing and what was going on with that? I don't think they ever have to really go through that again. It's not going to be Coulson having little fits.
Oh, no.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Now I know what you mean. Okay. So, but I'm thinking they're going to come back to it at some point to figure out what the city is or what it all means.
Oh, sure, yeah. But it's just going to be them talking about this city. Oh, remember when we found out about that city? It's going to be referenced like that. It's just, we're moving on to the next. We've completed the little face on the puzzle that we're working on, and we did the border previously, and now we can move on to all the blue section over here, whatever that is.
Oh, that's my least favorite part. Yeah. The blue, just the plain, all the pieces look the same.
Yeah, they do.
Oh, I hate that part.
Try one of those puzzles where every piece is exactly the same and it's all the same color. I hate those.
No, and there's a picture on the back of it too. I hate those.
Where it says piece one, piece two, piece three. So, anyway, so I felt like that took up a majority. I felt it took up more than half the episode. Now I didn't balance out and see what everything was, but I really enjoyed the Ward stuff because that has really intrigued me this season. Everything with what Ward's been doing is just what, you know, is he or isn't he, right? That's the whole point.
That's what makes it interesting because we still really don't know.
You can read it every way. If he's a good guy, he's doing this for salvation, yes, it works that way. If you say he's Hydra, he's still evil, he's setting everybody up to destroy the rest of S.H.I.E.L.D., yep, it'll work that way too. So what do you think? Is he heading for salvation, or is he just ramping up his evil meter?
the needle on his evil meter is tipping.
Hey, somebody set this doll to evil.
I think it's a little of both, actually. And I can't remember when I mentioned this. It was either the end of last season or the beginning of this season. But I still almost feel like if he's going to have any kind of real salvation, he's going to have to sacrifice himself. Mm-hmm. And even in this episode, you know, he brutally murdered some people. Granted, you know, they were Hydra in this one.
I'm going to be the one that says you're making an assumption because we didn't see him do it.
True. Okay, well, I'll give you this then. How about last week he brutally murdered the guards that were taking him into the military,
to the FBI,
I'm assuming.
Right.
Yeah, wherever. So either way, he's still a killer.
Oh, he's killed people. I'm not going to discount that.
And not all of those people were bad. You know, I mean, some of them were innocent bystanders or at least just doing their job or whatever, you know. So
innocent bystanders.
Yeah, was it speaking of which, the bartender,
yeah,
that group, was he wasn't one of the dead people, was he?
He was slumped across the bar. He was.
Was that the one that? Okay. See, I kind of glanced at that. I missed that one part. I was writing some notes. And I couldn't tell if he was one of them or not. So
yeah, I don't think he's. I'm pretty sure he's dead. I don't think he's coming back. Though I liked the bartender. I thought he did a good job.
Yeah, well, it made sense that he'd be dead too. So, So anyway, I think it's a little of both. I think he's done a lot of bad things, and I don't know that you can necessarily get Pat. I don't think you can be forgiven for that. Some of the stuff that he's done without the ultimate sacrifice.
Right.
And I'm wondering how long he can supposedly be honest with Coulson and Sky, especially, with the goals that he seems to have, which is going after his brother.
Right. Well, if you notice, he said at the end, he was continuing his same lines that he'd been using all season, where he told Sky that he'd see her again soon, and he said, I promise. Which the whole thing is, you know, he's been saying he will not lie to her ever again. And, of course, he said it in the, you know, really creepy way.
Oh, man. I mean, he didn't even have to call her. It's almost like he called her just to keep her afraid.
Oh, he was doing all sorts of dick moves in this just to, like, scare people. You know, like, I'm like, how did he see Trip? You know, I mean, he was hiding behind the sunglasses, you know, and then, you know, Ward, it, and the way he did it, it's like, you know, he didn't come up to him and said, hey, dude, I know you're following me. He just kind of pulls his shirt back to, you know, like scratch his back and show the bomb. And then he scratches his face and he shows the trigger. And, you know, Tripp's smart enough to see what's going on. And then Ward, I don't know if you noticed, but he does see Bobby Morse outside reading the book. You can't see her face, but she's leaning up against the wall, and he comes by, and he's wearing his sunglasses, but he glances over, so you can tell he's checking out what page she's reading in the book, so that when he sees her again on the bus, you know, he totally breaks her down there, which I thought was a great scene. And I'm wondering if he made Trip, or, you know, identified him, and Bobby, don't you think he would have seen Hunter as well? Like, do you think he was just putting everybody on there to make sure that they followed him?
Yeah, I do. I do. I mean, I think he wanted to send a message saying, look, I'm this good. You're not going to get me. But then he left again to where he was going, and then knew they were going to follow still. So, yeah, whether he saw Hunter or not, I think he knew that they were going to continue to be able to track him.
Right. Because, like I said, go ahead.
What was the deal with the woman and her kid? You know, the suitcases that he helped.
I think that was just they were trying to. Well, I'm starting to second guess myself here, but I was going to say I thought it was just to set us up as the audience, like, oh, geez, now he's going to involve this woman and her kid. What's he going to do? You know, like, because he's a loose cannon. Like, we don't know his motives. We don't know how far he's going to go. We've seen that, you know, he's got these bombs on him.
Right. Well, it didn't go where I thought it was going to go either. I was surprised. It kind of ended really abruptly.
It did. You know? Well, I mean, it seemed like he was using her to get onto that one bus. Like, as an excuse to get on the bus. So I don't understand how, like, oh, I need some cover to help me get on this bus, so I'll go with these people so people think we're together.
You know what? Maybe that was it right there. He used her to get on a bus so Bobby, you know, the same bus Bobby was going to be on, so he could tell her. And then he got off the bus and got onto the real bus he wanted to get on.
Possibly.
So maybe it was kind of like leading. Okay, I see. That makes
sense.
What
were you thinking what he was going for?
Just like you said, you know, involving that woman and the kid. And then I wasn't sure. I mean, I was almost kind of scared for that woman and that kid because
yeah.
I didn't know
yeah.
what he was capable of. So
now I've got a second. I've got a second idea here that just kind of occurred to me. So you know how I said last episode that I feel like Coulson let him escape?
Yes.
I don't know if, you know, again, who knows? We don't know how many other agents are in on this plan. I doubt any of them. Maybe Sky, but I really doubt anybody else is in on it. If Coulson did let him go, I doubt anybody else is in on it.
I agree with that.
Maybe Ward and Coulson have something worked out, you know, which is why he let him go. Which is also why he sent Bakshi back, which I want to talk about in just a second. But maybe he used the woman and her luggage as some kind of dead drop to pass some information back to Coulson in some fashion. I don't know. I mean, there's nothing else that says that, but it's just kind of a crazy little thing that occurred to me because you know, he was handling their luggage, so it's like he could have moved something. I don't know.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's a possibility.
So,
and, you know, I still believe that Coulson could have let him go. We haven't seen I don't think we've seen any indication that that's what's happening.
Except the fact that Coulson was reading, I mean, and this doesn't really mean anything other than Coulson was reading Ward's personnel file. But
sure, but
why?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure that that is a piece of evidence to say that he, you know, had planned the whole thing. But I still believe it. I mean, it would definitely fit with their character and fit with a potential storyline there. So if that's what is happening, still he's still, you know, killing a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah. Now, so I mentioned, you know, I said you were making kind of a leap there, assuming that Ward killed all those guys in the bar. And then he got Bakshi what he promised him, right? So he's and in the same way, it's like he's always telling the truth to Sky, but is he really, like, you know, because if you don't say everything, if you hold things back, even if you're not lying about it, that omission can, you know, be, you know, pretty important information there. But he told Bakshi he'd get him face to face with Coulson. Close enough to put a bullet in his head. And, of course, Bakshi understood it to mean one thing. And, obviously, Ward had another idea. But I guess it's totally possible that that Ward and Bakshi are working together. And that was just a setup. And, it looks like Ward killed everybody. And maybe he did. And maybe Bakshi killed everybody. And then they put tape on his mouth. And Ward tied him up and punched him or whatever. And said, okay, cool, they're going to come get you, and then you're going to be inside SHIELD's headquarters, and you can do whatever you want. What do you think about that? Is that crazy?
Told Bakshi he could do whatever he wants?
Yeah, Bakshi can, you know, so now Bakshi's in the cell. Maybe Ward would knew that, and so maybe, I don't know, he's given him some information, because it appears that Ward still was able to know what was going on outside of the cell. He knew several things. He knew that Strucker was overseas. Now, maybe he found that out once he escaped and he made a call, because Bakshi said he had called on a phone that he didn't even know was still in operation, meaning one of the, like, the what do they call it? Those, like, a safe house or whatever, where Ward picked up his money and stuff, the hidey hole. And so maybe at that point he's like, he was calling in for Strucker. And they said, I'm sorry, but Baron Strucker's overseas right now. Would you like to talk to, you know, Mr. Bakshi? He's like, what? So I don't know, but it seems like Ward knows more than he should about what's going on in the world, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think there could be a setup there.
Yeah, it still seems like a setup, but I don't know what Bakshi could do while he was there without having some sort of way to get out.
Well, nobody knows where the base is, correct? I mean, the SHIELD base.
Right.
Because they put blindfolds on people when they take them in. And out.
Right.
So, like, Ward didn't know where he was coming from, correct? But, and again, you know, if they miss this, then maybe their security's not really worth it. But what if Bakshi was in on the plan, and he had some kind of homing device on him, and they take him in, and of course now a Hydra team can come and assault the base.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. I hadn't even thought about that.
And of course we're working up to the mid-season finale, so I'm trying to figure out, you know, this is just me, where are they going to go with this to, you know, they're going to have to take it up to some sort of precipice, you know, for the cliffhanger. And then they're going to go into Agent Carter. So, you know, maybe the team gets an assault on this facility that Agent Carter was using, and we'll find some stuff out in the Agent Carter series that is how they're going to get out. Maybe there's some information about it. You know, and I think they're also going to bring back in Sky's dad and Whitehall, you know, and the Obelisk, and that's all going to lead up into something with the cliffhanger here, but who knows,
right,
you know, where that's going at this point.
Well, I really like your speculation there. That makes a lot of sense, because I wasn't sure you know, I you definitely can't trust Ward one way or the other.
Can't trust anybody.
You can't fully trust. You can't. Well, no, that's true. But you can't fully trust Ward to. I mean, you know, you can trust some people to at least act within their character. I mean, you can trust Whitehall to act like, you know, the ultimate Hydra agent, mm-hmm. or not agent, but it, you know, he's in charge. I mean, you can trust certain characters to behave in certain ways. You can't trust Ward to do anything,
right?
Because he's unpredictable.
He is the, so on the two sides of the coin, that is Coulson's team and Whitehall's team, right? The good and the bad. Ward is like the, you know, the little ribbing that goes around the edge, right? He can move between the two sides of the coin at this point, and has either the trust or the distrust of everybody. I mean, he's a rogue, which is interesting. I mean, it's something that I really disliked. I saw the purpose of the character in the first season, but as soon as, you know, it was revealed that he was the, you know, the Hydra agent, he got infinitely more interesting. And now it's like, I think he is one of the coolest characters on the show, just because they can do so many different things with him and you don't know what you're getting. And only in retrospect can you analyze it, and then still you can't be 100% sure, even at this point, and maybe never will. It just leads for lots of different interpretations, and that's a sign of a really well-written, you know, character here for this, you know, for a spy drama that, you know, he's not your typical spy, right? You don't know what you're getting. So I'm enjoying it.
I am too. Yeah, he's great.
So let's continue on about Ward for just a minute then. You were talking earlier about him shaving. And when that scene came on, he was playing, I believe he was had source music playing in his room, and it was the song "Who Is He?" (parentheses) and "What Is He to You?" by Bill Withers. And so, it's an interesting little, it's kind of a smoldering jazz number, and the lyrics are about a guy who sees his woman kind of looking off, you know, beyond him as they're walking down the street, and noticing there's another guy she seems to be interested in. He wants to know, who is he and what is he to you? Then the scene cuts and goes to a close-up of a record player, and the music changes, or the tonality of the music changes, but it's the same song. And now we're at this record player, this old 1940s record player, and we pull back, and Sky is listening to the exact same song at the SSR base, at Shields base. And I have been puzzling this since the episode was on. Why did they have this scene between these two characters that had been really involved in the previous season? Why is it bridged with the same song? And why this particular song? And I have not been able to come up with any good insight for this, and I didn't know if there was anything you might be able to offer on it.
Well, geez. I don't know that I can offer any insight, but as I was reading through these lyrics, I'm picturing the relationship between Sky and Ward. And in the lyrics, it says, you know, things like, "Man, we passed, just tried to stare me down. And when I looked at you, you looked at the ground. I don't know who he is, but I think that you do. Dadgummit, who is he and what is he to you?" All I can think of is, like, Ward is this, okay, you just compared him to a coin, but so I can't really compare him to that, but he's got this dual personality, you know, who Sky thought he was and who she sees him,
okay,
who he turned out to be.
Yeah.
But maybe there's even another, you know, who he truly is, maybe somewhere in between. So I'm almost thinking like words like, you know, "Who you thought I was is not the guy, but I'm this guy, and I'm that's even better." You know, it's almost like I'm. It's like Ward is saying, "Don't look at me as I was. Look at me as I am now."
So it's not about Ward and Sky and some other guy. It's about Ward and Sky and Ward.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, but that's what it kind of fit to me.
I can see that from Sky's point of view. I guess I was trying because they started the scene with Ward. I was trying to puzzle out, like, because if Ward's listening to it and is he the one that's singing it or whatever? I don't know, but I like that explanation. That's really interesting, and maybe it relates to Coulson as well. Ward is not who Coulson thinks he is either. I don't know. But it was an interesting transition. I wasn't even sure it was the same song when I first heard it, but I liked the way they did that. Again, it was this really interesting cinematic transition. The music is the same, and it continues into the scene, but it changes just enough to know that you've switched locations, and then you get the scene with Sky where Ward calls her on Bakshi's phone. And then was continuing to be suitably creepy. And if you look, besides all the weird stuff that Ward had in his bag and the newspaper that said, that had a headline story on his brother who was trying to vowed to bring his brother to justice or something like that, meaning Grant. There's all sorts of weird things inside the bag. And if you notice behind him, he had multiple like gas canisters, a shovel. It looked like he had all the makings of bomb materials, basically.
You don't think he was just going out to plant a garden or?
No. unless you mean like a garden of bodies or something like that. I think he's, and maybe just one particular one. Taking down a U.S. senator, that is not an easy feat. Let me tell you I'm just saying, I don't have any. Of course.
You're not speaking from experience.
No, of course not. Not like I tried to jump the fence at the White House recently or anything like that. I had some other guys do that for me.
It was a bet.
It was a bet.
He dared him. If anybody could do it, I think Ward could do it.
That is probably true.
Actually, I think Coulson could do it too because he actually got in there. Remember, he got into his Christian Ward's office. So maybe it's not as hard as you think it is. This guy has lousy security. I think Grant Ward could do it for sure.
So
I think that's his ultimate goal right now, though. So for what reason, though? Is it for revenge? Is it for is it because he's crazy? Is it because his brother's crazy?
We're going to find out his brother's been replaced by a shape-shifting alien. That's what it is.
Oh, my gosh. Is he blue?
That would be great. I got to kill this guy. Why? He's an alien. It's like, you're crazy. And then he, tentacles out or whatever. And I don't know.
Tentacles out. So.
Little Cthulhu.
We'll see. See, that would go in interesting directions. I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
go for it.
Yeah, let's go. I mean, if you're going to do aliens and, you have the opportunity to do real scary stuff here. I mean, they are doing scary psychological stuff. This episode should have been a Halloween episode because it was creepy enough. But,
It did. It fit. It felt like asylum, like an asylum with those patients.
Right.
So that would have fit really well. So, either way, we can, at least for the time being, we can count on Grant Ward keeping it weird.
Want to talk a little bit about Fitz. He had some great scenes with Mac, again. He had a great line. I didn't even really understand what he said at first, but I still was able to process it because it just went by so quickly, too. When he said, how'd you get the body? And so he said, corpse diem, seize the body.
Seize the dead.
Seize the dead, was that it?
Yeah, corpse diem, seize the dead.
Just off the cuff, which is great, because that really seemed out of character for him, especially at this point. But
well, it seems more in character lately, but it does seem pretty obvious that he's getting better.
Mm-hmm. Now,
which they talked about,
right? Well, so he and Mac were talking about how crazy Coulson was, and how Mac was saying that he likes his boss's like their memories unjumbled or unscrambled or something like that.
Yeah.
And Fitz says that brains never delete their files; they just lose connection. So he's likening the brain to a computer hard drive here. And he talks about how they always have backups, and Mac was like, well, wait, you can have a backup? And I think, of course, the thought that goes through everyone's mind at this point is like, well, are they talking about a real backup, or are they talking about some kind of metaphorical backup inside everyone's brain, and that, you know, could we get Fitz's backup and, you know, restore his memories? But also, I mean, this is S.H.I.E.L.D. They could have, like, brain engrams or something like that of every agent for some reason. I don't know, but that's possible. I didn't know if you had any thoughts about that at all.
Wow, I hadn't thought about them keeping backups of people's brains.
I mean, they can erase brains, and obviously they had to have some memories to put back into Coulson, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, and I mean, if you think this does have a little precedence from other characters in the Marvel universe, like the oh my gosh, who was the Hydra agent from Captain America? You know, had his brain implanted in the computers.
Oh, Arnim Zola.
Yeah. So I mean, that does have some history that it's possible, but I don't think Fitz necessarily is like that, because he's sort of got this gradual healing that he's been doing with his brain, and I think he meant just more of his own brain had the backup.
Okay.
But, hey, but again, you gave me another idea I hadn't thought of, so I kind of like that, too.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, and that's what's great about this. all right, so I want to talk a little bit about the city that this map... leads to that it you know, it's kind of like the scene at in the beginning of the season where we saw all the little lights come up on the map of all the different Hydra locations.
Uh-huh.
Because Coulson's got his whole main team assembled there, and it's like, you know, this is a city and we got to get to this before Hydra does. It's like, all right, we were going to be wiping out Hydra locations around the globe. Okay, forget that. We now have to, you know, this is our new mission. And that's why I said, you know, kind of we've gotten into a new chapter in that. What are your thoughts about this the fact that the symbols turned into this map, which kind of turned into this city and might be a map to a city, but it appears to be just kind of a three-dimensional representation of a city. What are your thoughts?
Well, my only... ideas of what this might be. I mean, first, obviously, it would be like an alien city, but that would kind of be hard for them to resolve getting there or achieving any kind of thing in this city because it's not on Earth. So my other thought was, you know, you had mentioned that this alien's been around for thousands of years. What if this is some sort of a lost type of city, like an Atlantis kind of thing that... has some secrets or something in it that would be useful for either Hydra or S.H.I.E.L.D. And if they can find it, if they can get to it, they can have a really powerful tool that they could beat the other side with. And that may be one of the reasons why Hydra wants some of this stuff, even maybe the obelisk.
Right. Well, obviously, alien technology, as we've seen, you know, from the Chitauri and Avengers to the obelisk, you know, there are things that may not technically be weapons, but definitely could be used as weapons and or weaponized.
Sure.
So, yeah, I think, obviously, you know, Hydra, from previous episodes, like Wolf in the Hen House, you know, we kind of see where I think they're going, you know, for that sort of, you know, kind of technology, I guess.
Sure. And I, you know, Hydra knew that they were trying to make a weapon out of the obelisk, which they, I guess, kind of successfully did.
They did a pretty good job of that.
And, And so they knew certain things about that. Maybe they did know a little bit more about this map. There's nothing to indicate that they didn't necessarily know this. Maybe they'd had similar experiences with this. They were in possession of that alien body for a while.
Right.
Before Agent Carter got it.
Right. And maybe we'll find a little bit more about that during the Agent Carter series. To expand on some of the previous theories that I've espoused on the show about Inhumans, since we spoke last, I believe we have had the reveal of a bunch of Marvel movies that are coming through 2018, one of those being the Inhumans film in 2018. And which is good. I'd heard that they were kind of working on that. And all the weird stuff that's going on in this episode and the series with the writing and the obelisk and stuff, as I've discussed, you know, seems to point towards using Inhumans kind of as the mutants of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, since they can't use mutants since those are part of the X-Men franchise that they sold off to 20th Century Fox. Mm-hmm. So in the Inhumans series, they live in a city called Attilan, or Attilan, Attilan. It is, like you say, it's a hidden city. It has been in many different places, most recently in New York City. Don't ask me to explain that. But for the longest time, it was in the Himalayas, hidden, you know, as a city there, which is, you know, kind of around Southeast Asia, you know, China and stuff like that. So there's tie-ins with some of the stuff that was going on there. But it also, for a while, was located on the blue area of the moon, which I would find it being very interesting. Like you mentioned, if it's an alien city, it may not be on Earth, which just think about how these poor, crazy people, it's like if they finally figured out that it was a map to a city, great. Now let's find the city. Well, unfortunately, you can't because it's not on the planet. So that could lead to some interesting things. But I don't know if that's where they're going with it. It seems, you know, just again, from the comic book reference point, that might be where they're going. But S.H.I.E.L.D. is very unique in superhero shows because it is not doing anything based off of an existing storyline or characters, really. They take some characters and they do things similar to the way they've been done in the comic books. You know, Bobby Morse is this fighting S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, but not quite the same as she is in the comics, and, you know, obviously not going by all sorts of code names and things. So we'll have to see where this goes, but I think there's a good chance for that to come true, which would be pretty cool. And it'd be really neat to have the Inhumans set up here on S.H.I.E.L.D. to give people a good time to, you know, get to know them and understand more about who they are, so they don't have to do it as an origin film, you know, which yeah. I get tired of those.
Makes it very interesting. Yeah. Yeah. They get old.
Well, we're pretty much out of time here. Was there any other major elements here that you wanted to touch on that we didn't really get to?
No, it was a good episode, a lot of good action. It was a good Coulson episode, and I really did enjoy it a lot. Even the creepy parts, they were adequately creepy and uncomfortable. But I would like to kind of get back to some more Hydra stuff. We didn't see that much in this, and definitely, like you said, continue with the Ward storyline and see where that goes. I don't want him to drag out this thing with Ward the entire season, because mm-hmm. I'd like to see him doing something even bigger.
Yeah, the Ward storyline, now that we've kind of resolved these symbols on the what are they, why is there carving and stuff like that, I can wait on some of the other answers to that. Ward is really intriguing, and then the Skye's father, Whitehall, storyline is really interesting. And did Reyna survive? I mean, I think we were talking about that last time as well. So
Yep, that's right. And I think, you know, based on, won't talk about too much about next week, but based on the teaser, going to see a little bit more of some of what you just said. So
yeah. Okay, some of the references, I already touched on a couple of these here. We mentioned that Strucker is overseas. Baron Strucker was the Nazi leader that we saw at the end in the tag ending for Captain America, the Winter Soldier. And he's obviously somewhere over in some European country working on Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver. So we'll see more about him in Avengers 2, probably. There was a nice reference to Clark Gregg's screenplay that he wrote for a movie called What Lies Beneath. There was a line that was said by Sebastian Derrick. He said, "It's not about what's on the surface, it's what lies beneath." And when they said that, they were focused on Clark Gregg's face. So I thought that was pretty cool. You pointed out Sky's line here about the everlasting gobstopper of firewalls.
I like that. She was, everlasting gobstopper from Willy
from
Wonka.
From Willy Wonka. She was talking about how everything was connected, but they kept getting through one solution and, you know, getting stopped by a firewall. Not necessarily a computer firewall, but an actual firewall, a break. Sky mentions her crime scene junkie friend, whose name is Micro. That is probably a reference to the Punisher's pal, Microchip, who is a computer hacker that helped him out on a number of cases and had his own miniseries at some point in the late 90s, I believe. Hunter makes a reference calling Ward a big bad wolf, which indicates, you know, that Hydra are wolves, kind of likening back or harkening back to episode 5 of this season and Hen in the Wolf House. Also, lots of other references to animals. There were a couple references to cats, to dead birds. So I don't know if that what that has much to do with anything, but it just seemed there was an overabundance of animal references in this episode. And then, in case anyone was wondering what the video game that Fitz and Mac were playing, I checked it out, and it was Halo 2. Which I have not played, and it was a it looked like it was a multiplayer level. One of the what do they call them? Battle maps or something like that.
Oh, okay.
So, I don't know.
That's, well, apparently, good therapy for Fitz.
Yeah, it's like here, let's kill some people. It'll be good for you. So, I don't know, but it does seem like it's, you know, helping him come out of his shell a little bit. Anyway, so you know. All we've got for this week's episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files.
Yeah, we hope you enjoyed this episode. Make sure you give us some feedback on iTunes. We'd love to hear from you there. And you can contact us by email at shield@randomchatter.com. We got a few emails this week. Thank you very much. Also on our Twitter feed at Agents Podcast or on our Facebook page at facebook.com/agentspodcast.
And, very glad to be back. The people online kept us warm while we were gone for a week, and we will be here every week that there's an episode on the television. You can also check out the other TV shows and, the podcasts for the TV shows that Josh and I do, including Green Justice, an Arrow podcast, and Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast, both via randomchatter.com. All shows are also available in the iTunes Store and through Stitcher for Android or iOS. And if you enjoyed this podcast, please make sure to tell your friends about us, because that's the only way we're going to get new audience members. We get the occasional person who just kind of finds us, but word of mouth is still the best avenue. So for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, this is Jay.
And this is Josh.
Signing off from Level 7. This podcast is not endorsed by ABC Television or Marvel Entertainment. The official website for Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. can be found at www.agentsofshield.com. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and related elements are copyright Marvel Entertainment, LLC.
Transmission terminated.